It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning to you. It is a Tuesday, the first day of October, Carl Middleman.
Rabbit, rabbit.
All right.
It didn't really work this morning.
What?
As soon as I was closing the door of my house, I'm like, hey, I left my keys inside as I was pulling the door closed.
Uh-oh.
So Ethan was nice enough to come get me. And then we can't figure out why only half of the speakers in the studio are working.
The one behind Kim's head is not working.
Yeah, so yours is going to be a lot louder to fill the room.
It sounds like it's going to be a fun morning.
Way to go, Kim.
It is my fault.
I think you're saying the
sorry,
same.
Guys.
She's like, I didn't touch anything.
Carl comes in. He's like, what's happening? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't touch it. Don't look at me.
And I didn't even blame her.
Hey,
I'll blame the Reardon show.
Good morning to our buddy Bo Matthews, who is clearly up soaking in the thought tub
at 4:30.
I know.
He said he does that every morning this early.
Yes, but
you have to be pruny by like six. But maybe by now. Look
it's
at your
possible.
Fingers. How pruny are they? It does
possible.
Not take long.
We only know that because he texted us a few minutes ago. So we know the kind of situation that he happens to be in right now. We got a lot to get to. It's debate day, right? We'll be talking about that this morning with J.D. Vance and Tim Walz. They're already trying to play down expectations for this debate. They're laying this out to lead you to believe that Tim Walz is, well, we know he's a bit of a buffoon, but he's clearly, like Kamala Harris, been successful for a long time in politics. He was elected to state office. He was elected to Congress. He was elected to the governor. He's 60 years old. He didn't wake up yesterday and become a politician. So they're trying to play him down because they know how much better J.D. Vance is going to look tonight than him. So they're just trying to ease the expectations to begin with.
Well, and that really has been an effective strategy. I mean, you think back to Joe Biden's debate initially with Donald Trump, then you had Kamala Harris's. And I think all of us, even if you're liberal and you support them, I think we all had kind of low expectations. So if Kamala could form a coherent sentence and not give us some of her word salad, people like, wow, wow. And same with Joe Biden. I mean, he really didn't deliver on that, but he was at least a little more coherent than I think people thought.
Well, we've got Jamie Comer coming out with some new information on Walz yesterday. Evidence showing he has ties to the Chinese Communist government. He's a weirdo when it comes to China. He has a love affair with China. He's been there multiple times throughout his career. I don't know if it's out of respect for their system, what it is he likes about the Chinese Communist government, but there are connections between Tim Walz and China. Why is that a big deal? Oh, I don't know. Mayor Eric Adams just got indicted for his relationship with Turkey. And we know what the Bidens were doing with Russia and China, getting money from them. So I think that's something J.D. Vance brings up tonight. I don't know how Tim Walz weasels his way out of that one, but I mean, I think it'll be among the many things they bring up. Yesterday, of course, Donald Trump famously went down to Georgia. Valdosta, I think he was in Valdosta, talking to Brian Kemp about some of the flooding and issues that they had because of Helene. And Trump was on the ground. He wasn't on the ground in Asheville. Nobody's been up there. They can't be there yet. They would just be in the way. But, you know, he made some comments that Where's Biden? They can't get to him. They can't get a hold of him when we know Kemp had already talked to him at least once. So I don't know how effective that line of questioning is. It's the optics of it. Trump's on the ground where they're doing relief efforts. Harris is off campaigning somewhere in an airplane with a fake picture, trying to act like she's on the phone. I'm sure she was drawing Venn diagrams on that piece of paper.
That was what was so funny is that from the viewpoint that just the picture, it did not look like there was anything on the paper, yet her hand was halfway down as if she had written all these notes up top.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she had her headphones in that she likes to wear now to be able to dodge reporter questions. But as you noticed, probably they weren't even plugged into her phone unless she had a second phone in her lap. It wasn't really work. It was just hilarious. I'm like, oh, really? That picture wasn't staged at all?
Of course it was.
But absolutely, yeah, it was.
Absolutely 100%. Was, as they do so with so many things, trying to prepackage her. So we're going to talk about all of this. We've got John Lamping on a little later. We're going to talk about the longshoreman strike. I kind of wonder if we've got a shortshoreman strike going on in St. Louis, because did you notice the stench as you walked into the building this morning?
I feel like there's always a nose? Stench.
There's a big dumpster right between our building and the parking garage that doesn't look like it's been emptied in a month. And it stinks. And I don't know why they don't fix that. But the longshoremen are on strike. I went to the store yesterday, and they say the one thing you're going to notice the most quickly disappearing are bananas.
Like, if that's you like not bananas, gonna, that is not going to go well in my household.
I just
bought two bunches of bananas because my son, Nana, like every 10 minutes.
They say you should buy them and freeze them, peel them, put them in a Tupperware container and freeze them, and then you can
dip them in chocolate,
mash them up later, or whatever you want to do for him. But that they're going to be there's going to be a shortage of them quickly.
I better go get some bananas.
I'm telling you, go get.
Easton will not be happy.
There will now be a run on bananas. Carl Middleman, let's get to the shortlist, please.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
the Mark Cox shortlist. The world I grew up in was one where I think for the first time, really in American history. You know, my parents' generation did not expect their children to necessarily have a better life than they did.
Yeah, there's a great ad out. It's about 2 minutes long, though, about J.D. Vance in preparation for tonight's debate. And you can watch that where he had no prompter. He was speaking completely off the cuff. And you'll understand quickly why Tim Walz will be in over his head tonight.
I also want you to know, I'm committed to traveling to the impacted areas as soon as possible, but I've been told that it'd be disruptive if I did it right now.
Yeah, Dana Carvey there explaining why he has not been to any of the areas affected by the flooding yet, but he has been on the phone from the beach.
All right, this is Union Households. Kamala Harris, she's only leading by 9 points. That would be the worst Democratic performance in a generation, 10 points off the mark of Joe Biden, who...
Woo, when you've lost CNN, that's CNN reporting on how badly Kamala Harris is performing when it comes to union members in America. 10 points below what Joe Biden was doing, 20 points below how Bill Clinton did.
And have you reached out to President Biden about federal relief efforts?
No, I haven't reached out to him. No, I think he's sleeping right now, actually.
Why would Trump need to reach out to Biden?
Ask Kamala Harris that question, because hasn't she been campaigning through all of this?
Yeah, that would be my question. Why would Trump need to be the one that reached out? That
makes absolutely no sense.
That's just weird. I'm sorry. Speaking of Tim Walz and calling people weird, it's weird to ask Trump that question.
You know that has to come up tonight because he was the one who kind of coined that. The childless
weird.
Cat lady and
weird?
The weird part. If you had a bingo card for tonight's VP debate, put those on that.
Put Tampon Tim on
there.
I wonder if Vance goes there.
Tampon Tim. Yep. I think he'll say something about the trans agenda that he's pushed in Minnesota and BLM, and he let his city burn. I don't think the CBS moderators are going to bring it up because that would go against their favored candidate, clearly.
Right.
But I hope, and I do expect J.D. Vance to find a way to slip that in.
I'm sure. So they've got the CBS main anchor and the Sunday morning anchor will be the two that'll be moderating this debate tonight. what's the main anchor's name? Why is her name escaping me at CBS?
You're talking about Nora O'Donnell.
Nora O'Donnell will be doing it.
I couldn't remember who it was.
And she is so hard left that I just can't imagine how this is going to go tonight. But Vance has done over 100 interviews since he was named vice president. He's done over 100 interviews. Tim Walz has done one. And he goes on non-friendly media all the time. He'll go on 4 morning shows in one day on a Sunday, and the left takes him because they can't get their own candidates, right? And he takes all questions, and he generally battles them right down to the wire. I mean, he doesn't take any pushback from them. He gives as good as he gets. So he will be ready to go tonight, no matter what Nora O'Donnell throws at him. And we're going to be airing that thing. I heard 2 different times for the start this morning. Did you hear that, Carl?
I did.
So I thought it was Fox saying it started at 8 o'clock Eastern, but I think it's 8 o'clock
Central,
9 o'clock Eastern. That's what the Gordon Deal Show reported this morning. So we're going to be carrying it here on 97.1 when it happens.
I can tell you in just a second.
I was going to say, everything I'm seeing is saying 9 p.m. Eastern, so yeah, that's 8 p.m. our time.
That just makes the most sense that it would be 9 o'clock. It's at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. So we'll be carrying coverage for you right here. If you're out to driving around or wherever you happen to be, you can listen to it on the Odyssey app. You can listen to it on 97.1 FM Talk.
Can I gripe for 1 second?
Please.
I'm so tired of something like this. A VP debate should be vastly available to every single person who wants to watch it. They're saying it's available on all platforms where CBS News 24/7 and Paramount Plus are available. Stop with this whole, oh, it's on Disney Plus. Oh, it's on what at Peacock? No, put it on every single.
Well, it'll be on network.
It should be everywhere. It drives me nuts that some of these things are difficult to find. I have a problem with that.
Like they're all showing it.
Okay, they better, because that bothers me.
Except for ABC, who's got Dancing with the Stars.
No, I thought Dancing
they
with
are
no
not.
They're not no they're not they said
not.
They're taking a they said that they're taking the week off.
I okay
I
so then
all,
right, all the major networks have it.
Okay, thank you. I will end my gripe. Thank you for listening to Kim's TED Talk. You want to call it that?
Yes.
I'll get off my soapbox. Hang on.
Kim, okay. Very nice.
All right. I'm
all
off.
Right, Kim's down. All right. Let's go to the national anthem.
So,
please.
Mark, the second season of Frasier, speaking of Paramount Plus, has now dropped. And so here's Republican Kelsey Grammer doing our news.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
National Anthem.
Hi, folks. This is Al Gore. I may be bat crazy when it comes to climate change, but I never miss the Mark Cox Show.
All right, Al, thank you. Can I just tell you something that's sticking in my craw this morning? Are you a Verizon customer, Carl Middleman?
Nope.
I am.
Sorry.
And I'm a very unhappy Verizon customer.
You made the news.
I was without cell phone service from about 15 minutes after this show ended yesterday morning until 6 o'clock last night.
Really?
I had no ability to call anyone. I had no ability to text anyone. I was completely silent on my cell phone all day yesterday.
Like it was the 1800s.
Seriously.
He sent out his carrier pigeon. Did you put a message in a bottle? And
so, well, that was a sting, right?
He opened with that on Sunday.
Yeah,
night.
I know. Here's the thing about this. This is the second time this has happened.
Yeah, and it wasn't that long ago that it happened.
I hate to be the one to bring up conspiracy theories here, but
Chinese.
This is the second test run of shutting down a carrier pretty much nationwide for what, 8 hours, 9 hours? There was no cell phone coverage. What if this happened on election day, potentially? I don't know what impact it would have on people voting, but what if it happened to more than one carrier on election day? Somebody brought this up to me yesterday and said it's concerning enough that maybe it's a good enough reason if you weren't already planning to vote early, to vote early. So that if anybody does have any designs on some sort of a disruption that would distract people on election day, then we don't have to sweat that. And I honestly don't think that's a bad idea. I've just got to say, I mean, I've said all along, you've got to play the game. If the other side is voting early and harvesting votes, we're going to have to do the same thing. I believe this is going to be too big for them to steal this time. But what happened yesterday kind of drove home a couple of things, right? Number one, look what happened in Asheville, North Carolina. There are people up there living like the 1800s right now. They have no electricity. The grocery stores are out of food. They have no fresh water. They have no phone service. They have no nothing. And only one road is open in and out of Asheville right now. FEMA is trying to help them, but they're 3 days out with no power, no food, no water. Are you prepared for that? Anything can happen. You've got to be prepared for it. So don't take the risk that the October surprise is really a November surprise and all the cell phone systems go down in one day, or there are power grid problems in one day because it's hacked and that happens on election day. Let's not risk that. Vote as soon as you can possibly vote, and encourage your friends and relatives to do the exact same thing. We'll talk more about the voter guide and an update that's coming to it in just a few minutes. Up next, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim and one of my favorite subjects. We'll be right back.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Well, by now you've probably heard Pete Rose died at the age of 83 yesterday. And a lot of people this morning are talking about the fact that he was never put in the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, uber successful, all-time hits leader, and this whole gambling situation when he was the manager for the Reds did him in, right? That led to the lifetime ban for him.
I just can't tell you how sad I am by this, that these knuckleheads in Major League Baseball, and I'll point to leadership and I'll point to the sports writers, who didn't have the human decency to put the man in the Hall of Fame before he died. The Hall of Fame should not exist if the all-time hits leader is not in the Hall of Fame. You have to understand, Kim, and I know this all happened before your time, but Pete Rose didn't get banned for what he did on the field. He got banned for what he did once he was the manager of the Cincinnati Reds and they accused him of betting on baseball.
Right.
And he never bet against his own team, but they don't care about that.
Well, he says he stands by what he did. He's like, I didn't do anything wrong.
But here's the sad part of it. Even if for years they had to keep him out of baseball because he broke the cardinal rule of gambling while involved in the sport, for God's sake, you can walk into the Cincinnati Reds Stadium this afternoon, if there's still a game. I don't know if they're playing at home this week or not before the season's over. I don't know.
Season's over.
You could walk into their stadium before the season ended and place a bet on baseball inside the stadium. So that ship has sailed. So however you were pissed off at Pete Rose, gambling has now been blessed by Major League Baseball.
I understand.
Why not put the man in the Hall?
I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I understand, like, you don't want to set the precedent, and so it's you don't want everyone doing this and thinking they can get away with it. But at this point, I think the guy belongs in the Hall of Fame. And I think about, and I know you're, let me connect the dots here, because I'm going to mention the name Michael Jackson, okay? I know this seems very off, but let me just say this, okay? For example, Michael Jackson, back in, like, the 90s, he was accused of child sex abuse, right? I looked it up. 1993. Of course, he was denying the allegations. It wasn't until later in the 2000s when he was actually going through the trial. In 2001, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Okay, he died in, I believe, 2009. So I think about someone like that who was facing child sex abuse allegations for years and was still inducted into the Hall of Fame as a musician, as a talented artist. Michael Jackson did, in my opinion, all kinds of terrible things. Like, the guy had some serious issues, but he was a very talented singer. Now, I don't know where the line is, but my point in saying all this is they still inducted him into the Hall of Fame specifically because he's talented. So I connect that to the whole Pete Rose situation to be like, the guy, look at all his accolades. He still deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for his success as a baseball player.
Amen. Now, of course, you know, you had the great cheating scandal back in the early 1900s, and that's when Major League Baseball put in the rules that you couldn't play baseball and gamble, and Bart Giamatti banned him for life after this happened. Giamatti died about 2 weeks later after he banned him, and in Cincinnati, the theory was that one of Rose's teammates, Davey Concepcion, they called him Doggy, had put some sort of a Puerto Rican curse on Giamatti, and he died very soon after he made this decision. I'm not laughing at Giamatti's death, but Major League Baseball at that point seemed to be so embittered against Pete Rose that they wouldn't even consider putting him in the Hall of Fame. For those of you who are too young to remember, let me read you all of the records the man who just died still holds, and I would argue most of these will never be broken. He has 4,256 hits in his career. 3,562 games played. He holds that record. He holds a record for the most at-bats, 4,083. The most singles, 3,215. And the most outs, 10,328. He won 3 World Series, 3 batting titles, 1 MVP award, 2 Gold Gloves, and the Rookie of the Year award. His nickname was Charlie Hustle. Mm-hmm. The Hall of Fame should collapse if Pete Rose is not put in it, while Shohei Ohtani continues to be lauded after $500,000 of his personal fortune was spent on gambling. Now, he claims it was his personal assistant.
It was the interpreter, I thought.
Remember what Pete Rose said when he found out about that. Here we go.
Hey, guys. Matt Thrash here, enjoying some March Madness with my great friend Pete Rose. And we were talking about the current goings-on in baseball right now, and Pete wanted to mention something.
Well, back in the 70s and 80s, I wish I'd have had an interpreter. I'd be scot-free.
There you have it from the Hit King.
Seriously, he's not wrong.
Because Ohtani said, if I could have just blamed it on my interpreter, I'd have been scot-free.
Yeah.
Forget the fact that it was his money they got spent on gambling.
I can understand, but like, to me, gambling, I guess back then when they were saying he was doing this, you know, not embraced at all. But I'm saying, like, what, I don't know what that line is. I do think there is a line, and I don't think it's gambling, but I'm just saying there is a line where if someone, even if they've been very successful, has done something, there should be some sort of a precedent set where they've lost, they would not be inducted into a Hall of Fame. Do you know what I'm saying? And I don't know what that line is, but that was why I brought up the Michael Jackson thing. Because the guy was accused of child sex abuse, and I know at the time they were just allegations, and the guy was still inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You think about R. Kelly and all of these people who have these very rough pasts, and they're still celebrated as artists.
Yeah, well, and here's the other thing. I mean, I understand why you have to have a hard and fast rule about people who are playing the game, not betting the over-under on their own team and then doing something intentional to keep that team from... There was an NBA player accused of doing that recently.
Yes.
Right? And he's been banned now. I believe it was the brother of the kid from the zoo, right?
I thought he was only banned for a few games. I didn't think he was banned.
banned.
Didn't he go to Mizzou also?
Yes, he did go to Mizzou.
So I see the reason for doing that. What Pete Rose accomplished on the field, though, has nothing to do with the fact that when he was then the manager player near the very end of his career, he was found to have bet on the Reds to win.
I was going
to
say.
But here's the difference. There are players like Daryl Strawberry and others who have been suspended multiple times for substance abuse over the years because they saw the drug problem as an addiction. Today, we acknowledge that gambling is an addiction problem for a lot of people, but it's not treated like that. It's treated like cancer that has to be removed. Daryl Strawberry was given multiple opportunities to come back in baseball, and a lot of stars have who have addiction problems. But if it's gambling, they don't recognize it as an addiction. You're just banned. And that's the problem with the Pete Rose thing. He had a gambling problem, but he could have gotten treated for it and been allowed back into baseball. But they got so hardened against him that the buttholes just wouldn't let him back in. And I'm so angry at them.
That's your word of choice. Huh?
I'm angry at them for that because I can't use the other word on the air.
Mm. I haven't heard that word in a while, but
I'm just saying.
There we go.
Thank you.
I think it's a little bit different, the fact that he was betting they would win. I think it's very different, like the case with the basketball player, and I'm blanking on his name right now, but he was basically, wasn't he injured or something, and he was betting they would lose? That, to me, is very different if you're
Porter,
intentionally...
Michael Porter's younger
Michael
brother,
Porter,
right?
Yes. If you're intentionally throwing the game and betting that the team is going to lose, that to me is very different than betting on the team to win, because really, you're just hoping you're going to win. Like that isn't something that you can predict. You can throw a game. Thank you. Jontay Porter.
Yeah, yeah.
That wouldn't be that difficult, in my opinion. So when you're betting the team's going to win, I don't see that as...
Pete was a competitor. It's where he got the nickname Charlie Hustle. He was a competitor.
One of his famous things is that he knocked over a catcher in the All-Star game to score a run.
To score a run. That's how intense he was.
It's the All-Star game that no one gets hurt.
Yeah.
Except that one
time. Except Pete Rose bowled somebody over at home plate. That's just the kind of guy he was. And I'm saddened by it. And I've got a personally signed Pete Rose baseball at home with his 4,192. He signed it. And I'm proud that I have that.
I met him once.
Going back to something you said, and maybe I'm taking this out of context, but you mentioned this whole gambling thing and it being viewed now as an addiction. And I agree that it is, and it is actually probably very addicting. But I do feel like some people look at that as like, well, I'm a victim. I'm just addicted to it. You know what I'm saying? Like they use that as an excuse. And
well,
then
people go bankrupt all the time because they gamble away. They just can't stop.
Well, right, but you have to also... It is an addiction, 100%. But I think that people use it like, well, it's a disease. Like overeat. Like all these things. It's like, well, I'm a victim because it's a disease. I can't help it. The only thing I would say to that is that when you do call it that, it is that. But when you go too far to say, well, it's an addiction, I can't help it, then it removes the personal responsibility of like, well, you need to get help about it. Like, go get help to stop doing it. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I'll get back to my original point. Shame on Major League Baseball for not letting this man in the hall before he died. And he made some comments one time. He said, I don't think they're going to let me in until I die, and then posthumously they may grant me a position in there. They have to.
Do you think so? You think they will?
They have to. There's nobody greater in that hall. There's nobody who did more in that hall than Pete. There's not. He didn't hit as many home runs. He didn't have the home run record, but
and
all those other
in.
Records. Yeah, well, that's steroids, right?
Yep.
There were no performance-enhancing drugs involved here.
Is the line? Like, if someone's taking steroids and they can prove that, but they've, or let's just say, become the all-time hitter.
That's why performance. That's why Bonds and McGuire and Sosa are not in.
I understand that's different, but I agree. See, I would agree with that. There is a line where you should not be allowed,
personal
despite how success you've been. Yeah, you have to take personal responsibility. You're not all that because you took steroids in their case.
I don't know if Davy Concepcion's still around, but he ought to put another curse on him if they don't put him in there. I'm just saying.
And Jontay Porter is banned for life because
he's
banned for life because he claimed he was ill on a game that he had bet on and took himself out 3 minutes after he was.
Yeah.
Well, so he was betting they would lose, and then he would throw the game. So that's different than Pete Rose.
But it was on his personal stats line, not who won or lost the game
as a team,
because he wasn't that great of a player. He wasn't that much of a contributor, but he bet that he wouldn't,
like fantasy,
he would get below a certain number of points.
Oh,
and
that
when he
was
scored
it. Yes.
Before he scored that many points, he took himself out of the game.
Oh, shoot, my ankle. Ow, I have to get out of the game.
That's a problem.
Darn.
That's a problem. That's not what Pete did. All right, good one, Kim. You got me a little fired up this morning. Wow. That's good. Hey, speaking of which, we're going to talk about online gambling because it's in the voter guide. And Reardon had a really good interview on about that yesterday afternoon. I'm going to play a little bit of that for you this morning. In fact, we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned. Is it a Monday? Like every day has been a Monday since I posted my voter guide. Can I just tell you that? So yesterday I promised you I was going to repost it because there'd been an editing error and it left out the U.S. Senate race, which is Josh Hawley's race, of course. And so I did that, and I sent it to the guy that had to repost it for me, and he reposted it. And then I realized that I got one more thing wrong in there, and it's got to be fixed again today. So I apologize for that. I am a no on Prop A, which is the minimum wage proposition. I'm a no on Prop A. But for some reason on the short list, that came up as a yes. And I apologize, and it's my mistake. We're going to fix it today. Now, let's talk for a moment about Amendment 2. That's online sports wagering, because we were just talking about betting, and that's all legal now. You can bet on any game you want to. Major League Baseball is all in on it. Now, I don't particularly care if adults bet. As long as you don't have a gambling addiction, you're ruining your family, I'm okay with that. What I hate about this issue is that they're trying to pitch it as something that you have to vote for because it's good for the schools. And if it's going to be good for the schools, then I'm all in. They got that pretty blonde actress doing, I guess she's an actress. She claims she's a Missouri mom, and she's voting for Amendment 2 because it's going to help our schools.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's a sleight of hand, folks, and you need to understand that before you go to the polls. You may support online gambling, but don't support it because it's going to help education, because not much is going to go for education. Listen to Brooke Foster. She's part of the group that's fighting against this. Listen.
Our campaign, we're not opposed to sports betting, and we're not opposed to sports betting coming to Missouri. We're just opposed to the way that this measure does it. And it's for exactly the reason that you raised, is we feel like the language in the ballot measure is fairly vague and fairly disingenuous. And that the advertisements, especially the TV ads that are, you know, promising millions of dollars to education, you know, that literally does not add up because the online gambling corporations are able to take so many deductions before they pay their taxes to our state.
Yeah, there's all these carve outs that they can take, write-offs, before they ever have to claim a profit. And they only have to pay the schools if they claim a profit. So let's assume they make $30 million in profit for the year. $30 million that would go to education in the state. Listen to Brooke describe this.
So you're right. So the top, you know, according to the fiscal note, the absolute, the maximum the state auditor found was $28.9 million per year. And, you know, we did a little back of the napkin math on that. And even if, you know, the gambling corporations were to pay in that full 28.9, if you divide that by the, you know, number of pupils here in Missouri, it's about $30 per student. So, you know, I've got two kids in elementary school and SLPS, and I know that, you know, $30 per student's going to buy, you know, two packs of highlighters.
Yeah.
It's really, really a small amount, and that's the maximum mark.
Right.
I actually received a text message, I think, last week saying, I'm Sue, a Missouri teacher who wants to warn you about Amendment 2. Out-of-state corporations are pushing this deceptive constitutional amendment so they can rake in billions of dollars.
Yeah, well, why else would they use a mother in all the ads and tell you it's all about funding schools?
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
It pulls at the heartstrings.
Do the math. Go look it up yourself. Take $30 million and then divide it by the number of school districts in the state of Missouri. You know what that, if it ever made $30 million, do you know how much that would be per district? $36,000. And it's only for, like, I guess they could spend it on whatever they wanted. What's $36,000? It's a drop in the bucket. It wouldn't even fund a teacher's salary for the year. So don't, if you're going to vote for online gambling, go ahead, but don't do it because you, with the excuse that it's helping schools. It's not going to help schools. So that is Amendment 2 on the ballot this year if you're in the state of Missouri. I am a big no on it because it just all sounds pretty fishy to me. You can read all that on 971talk.com. There'll be an updated version of it on there a little bit later this morning. All right, coming up, we're going to talk more about that dock worker strike that could throw a big wrench into the economy.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.